You're listening to Science Friday. I'm Ira Plato. We have one last comforting thought for you this Halloween. Unless you live in Antarctica, you are almost never more than 4 feet away from a spider. There's probably a spider in the same room as you are right now. And yes, there are even spiders in the Arctic. This is a scary thought for people with arachnophobia. But even the most ardent spider fan might feel at least a hint of nervousness if they saw a black widow or the notorious brown recluse whose bite sometimes leaves gruesome marks on the skin. But my next guest wants you to feel less afraid of those brown recluses. And if you're afraid of all spiders, they want you to feel better about that, too. Maybe you'll even go looking for them to do your own spider science, whether it's a cellar spider's fast-spinning defense mechanism, a spitting spider's deadly blob of venom and web, or a crab spider's expert color-changing camouflage. Here to tell us why there's nothing to fear, maybe a lot to love, are my guests, Eleanor Spicer Rice, an entomologist and author of the forthcoming book, Dr. Eleanor's Book of Common Spiders. She's based in Raleigh, South Carolina. Catherine Scott, an arachnologist and PhD student at the University of Toronto. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks. Hi. For having us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have you both always loved spiders?
I have not always loved spiders. This is Eleanor.
You both
what
said
about you,
no.
Catherine?
Yeah, no, oh, I used to be terrified of spiders until I was about 25 years old and started studying them. So, it's definitely not a lifelong love. It's something that I've learned recently to love spiders.
And how do you get over that fear?
So for me, the process of turning fear to fascination was relatively quickly, and it was just all about spending time with spiders, watching their behavior, and learning more about them. So I think the more you know, the more you understand spiders, and the less reason you have to fear them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Catherine, I know you're working on a citizen science project to help people identify whether they've got a brown recluse or not. Is this because recluses are so dangerous?
So they have this horrible reputation, especially in North America. People are terrified of brown recluses. They think that if you get bitten by a brown recluse, your arm is going to rot off. You're going to die. You're going to have to get an amputation. And there's a bit of hysteria around it that's really way overblown relative to the real risk. Brown recluse spiders rarely bite. And when they do, it's only a very small proportion, like 10% of the bites that are actually really serious. But those are the ones that people hear about on the media and the gruesome wounds that you'll see if you search brown recluse bite online. So there's a bias towards the really severe, really rare cases of brown recluse bites.
Yeah, this reminds me when I was a kid, people talking about black widow spiders the same way.
Yeah, exactly. And black widows as well. I study them. I work with them every day. I handle them. So I spend a lot of time with them. I've never been bitten. So if you're not going out looking for black widows, they have no interest in humans. They're actually really shy and secretive, just like recluse spiders. There's a reason they're called recluse spiders, because they are reclusive. They have no interest in you. And the risk that they pose is really, really small.
Catherine actually tried to make black widows bite her for a project. And she couldn't get them to bite her unless she squeezed them.
Is that true?
So that wasn't actually me, sorry, but that was a really cool study that came out a couple years ago that I wrote about on my blog. So yeah, a scientific study trying to make black widows bite by poking and prodding them found that if you poke them and prod them and just repeatedly harass them, they're either going to run away because they're much more afraid of us than we are of them. They're going to play dead to try to get us to leave them alone, or they'll fling sticky silk, which is their main defense. It was only when the researchers squeezed them between silicone fingers that the spiders ever bit. And even then, only about 60% of the time would the black widows bite when they were being squeezed and had no other recourse. And at that point, they're doing biting as a last-ditch defense. And then they also found that when the spiders did bite defensively, over half of those bites were dry. They didn't actually inject any venom. So they can control whether or not they inject venom when they bite. And it turns out that venom is really expensive metabolically for spiders to produce. And it's for subduing prey. It's not actually for defense. And it's not very effective at defense. So they want to save up their venom for their next meal and not waste it on biting.
So let's talk about your citizen science project about identifying the recluse. How do people participate?
So all you have to do is, if you see a spider that you think is a brown recluse, you tweet it. You take a little picture of it and tweet it to us at recluse or not. And one of either myself or Catherine or another arachnologist, Matt Bertone, will identify the spider for you and tell you if it's a recluse or not. Okay. So then you can know that's not here.
And what are you learning about all these pictures that are being sent to you?
Well, one thing that we're learning is that most people think that every single spider that they see in their house is a brown recluse, whether it looks like one or not. And a lot of people who don't live anywhere near brown recluses think that they have brown recluses in their house. So and another thing that we're learning is that people who do live in areas where brown recluses live can live in houses with tons and tons of recluses and just peacefully and not even realize that they're completely surrounded by lots of brown recluses.
Here's a tweet from Nasty Pantsuit who says, I love spiders. I live in Australia and a brood of baby huntsmen hatched in the house. Really cute. What are baby huntsmen for us who don't know that?
So huntsman spiders, they're also known as giant crab spiders. And we do have some huntsmen in North America, but only in the south. They're also fairly common in houses. And the babies are really cute. Actually, one of the things that I love about spiders is a lot of them have parental care. The mothers will carry the babies around on their back. In wolf spiders, for instance, or in the social velvet spiders, mothers will actually regurgitate food for their babies, just like bird parents do for their offspring. So, spiders take really good care of their babies.
I mean, you too, just we're having a love fest about spiders here.
They're pretty great. Go ahead. I was just saying they don't seem great at first, but really, if you just take a few minutes to stare at any spider that's around you, you'll realize they're pretty awesome.
I have to admit that I love spiders too, and I have.
Oh,
yeah.
Always love spiders?
Well, yeah. You know, because I figure if there are spiders in my house, there's something they would like to eat, and it's something I don't like to have around. Is what they're eating.
That's true. The spiders aren't going to be living in your house unless they have something to eat. So they're there doing something for you in your house. And they do the same thing in agricultural fields. They found that if you take lynx spiders out of agricultural fields, the pest populations just skyrocket because they're there eating all of these pests, you know, without pesticides. They do tons of wonderful things just from eating.
What kinds of things do they eat in my house?
In your house?
In the house?
They eat You can tell, Catherine.
Okay. I mean, they're eating anything that is an insect or even other spiders. So anything that's sort of crawling on 6 to 8 legs, spiders will eat it for sure. And like Eleanor said, they're excellent roommates. You already know, having spiders in your house, they earn their keep by eating the things that you don't want around, especially things like mosquitoes. And there's actually one spider species, which is... this isn't its official name, but I like to call it the vampire spider. It is a jumping spider that actually specializes on eating the mosquitoes that transmit malaria. It especially likes to eat the ones that have fed on human blood. So indirectly, it's feeding on human blood, but it's doing us a favor by eating those mosquitoes that would otherwise be transmitting diseases.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people who are afraid of spiders because they think that while they're sleeping and they're snoring or have their mouth open, a spider is going to crawl in and they're going to swallow it.
Yes, but that doesn't really actually happen. I mean, I don't think a spider wants to be anywhere near your mouth.
Unless
you have little bugs crawling out of your mouth, then you have other problems that we need to worry about.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah, and that's a very popular misconception that spiders want to go in your mouth. That's definitely a myth. And another one that goes along with that is that spiders crawl into your bed and bite you in your sleep. Again, like spiders have no reason to crawl into your bed to bite you. They're interested in biting insects and other arthropods, not humans. They don't feed on us, so they have absolutely no reason to bite us.
One tweet comes in from Steve. It says, how can I tell the difference between a brown recluse and a wolf spider?
Well, that's
excellent
a great question,
because
a lot of people think that they have wolf spiders, and I mean that their wolf spiders are brown recluses. But Catherine, do you want to give the features of a brown recluse?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a few things. So if you've got a recluse spider, it's going to have a violin mark, but that's not enough because there are a lot of spiders that also have a violin pattern on them. So to tell that it's not a brown recluse, that it's a wolf spider, for instance, it's going to have 8 eyes rather than 6. Recluses only have 6. Most other spiders, including wolf spiders, also have big spines on their legs, whereas brown recluses only have very, very fine hair. Recluses never have stripes on their legs, which a lot of other spiders do. Am I missing the last one, Eleanor?
Well, wolf spiders don't usually have webs, but brown recluses also don't have webs. So if you're trying to tell the recluse from other spiders that if you see a spider hanging out in a web that you think is a brown recluse, they don't hang out in webs. They can build cobwebs, but they don't really live in those webs.
Yeah, it's on an orb web or a big space-filling web, definitely not a brown recluse. And wolf spiders don't build webs at all. They're always running around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're always running around hunting for stuff.
I've seen them in my basement, so they're big and
lucky
hairy.
Lucky you.
Big and hairy things.
Excellent roommates.
Is that
they
right?
They are.
Why do you say that?
They're
again,
eating all of your pests.
They're also really fun to watch. So wolf spiders and also jumping spiders, which you'll also find if you go out on a sunny day and look at the wall of your house or your fence, you'll often see jumping spiders. And they're super fun to watch because they're visual hunters, just like tiny little cats. And they'll pounce on their prey just like a cat. So if you can spend some time
really
watching
cute.
Those visual predators. Oh, and they're adorable.
They
have spiders
big
can
eyes.
Be really
they look
beautiful.
Like they have little mustaches.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you've never seen a peacock spider, please go and Google peacock spider right now, because they're the most beautiful animals in the world. They look like their abdomen looks like a peacock's tail that's rainbow colored. And you can't not start to like spiders a little bit once you've seen a peacock spider.
I think we're changing minds by the second on Science Friday from PRI Public Radio International. Talking with Catherine Scott and Eleanor Spicer Rice, author of Dr. Eleanor's Book of Common Spiders. We just have to talk about this because I know it's talked about a lot, and that is spider sex. I've got some bizarre...
This is my favorite topic.
Go for
Me
it.
Me too. Well, every spider can eat every other spider, right? Because they're predators. So to keep each other from eating each other, they have developed some pretty crazy behaviors to tell each other that they're mates. Can I just tell you like one of my favorite ones that's kind of creepy?
Please.
Okay, so there are these spiders called grass spiders, and that you know how when you like look out in your lawn and you see those sheet webs in between your grass with little funnel on the end of it? Yeah. Those are the grass spiders. And the male, what he does is he'll go up to the web and he'll flex the sheet very gently. And then while he's doing it, he waves his abdomen in the air very hypnotically to do this like sexy dance on the web. And if the female looks like she's interested, he'll release a chemical and she'll pass out cold. And then he'll just jump on her and go for it. And then before she can wake up and eat him, he runs away. It's my favorite. What about you, Catherine? What's your favorite spider sex?
I really love black widows because they're the species that I study. And I like this because it sort of helps people to understand that spiders have more in common with us than you might think. So black widows literally do web-based personal ads. So the female black widow has a smell on her silk, on her web, that is an advertisement that provides males with information about her, where she is, whether she's mated before, and even whether or not she's hungry, which, like Eleanor was saying, is really important. If the female is hungry, she poses a threat to the male when he enters her web. He might become a meal rather than a mate. So, spiders are great at using chemicals to communicate with one another, which most people probably don't think about.
Last question. It's Halloween next week, and in that vein, there's a kind of spider that is almost like kind of a vampire, Eleanor?
Oh, that's the one that can eat mosquitoes, the big, fat, bloody-filled mosquitoes. But there are other Halloween-type spiders, too, because a lot of spiders wear Halloween costumes all year round. They mimic all kinds of different creatures. Catherine, do you want to tell some of your favorites?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. So one of the coolest ones is spiders that mimic ants. So a lot of spiders have highly modified bodies, so you can barely tell that they're a spider, not an ant. And they walk like an ant. They hang out with ants, so they look very similar to ants. And then there are also other spiders that masquerade as inanimate objects, like bird poop, like twigs and leaves and flowers. And so they wear these costumes, so to speak, to either avoid predators, so by looking like an ant that's well defended and distasteful, or by looking like a leaf or bird poop, which doesn't taste good, or they can even look like a flower, for instance, in order to ambush insects that are coming to visit that flower. Wow. For nectar.
Now, if I wanted to go to a Halloween party dressed up as a spider, what would you suggest I wear?
I would go for the Black Widow.
Would you really? I would go for a spinning spider.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
Oh, they're really great.
What would I be wearing? What kind of costume? What would I put on?
Well, you could just go around and spit on people. They spit these death loogies on. They're like scavengers. And they live in, they're very common. They live all around us. I have them in my kitchen. And they go up to their prey, and instead of jumping on them, they just spit these venomous death loogies on them and tangle them down. It's all sticky. And then they like go up to this goopy thing and eat it. So you could just be the grossest spider.
Well, I think you have solved that problem.
It wouldn't make you the most popular person at the party, but
most original costume, I'll bet.
Be very accurate. Yeah.
And I think that is the most original costume we've ever had on Science Friday Night. 26 years we've been on the air. Thank you both for your fascinating. Spicer Rice's book is called Dr. Eleanor's Book of Common Spiders. She's based in Raleigh, South Carolina. Catherine Scott is an arachnologist and a PhD student at the University of Toronto. And if you ever wonder what spiders you're seeing in your home, you can head over to sciencefriday.com/commonspiders to see pictures, learn facts, find out all about these spiders. sciencefriday.com/commonspider. Thank you both for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having
us. Fun.
You're welcome. One last thing before we go. All you Bay Area listeners, Annie Minoff and Ella Fetter, the hosts of Undiscovered, our podcast, will be joining Mythbuster Adam Savage at the Bay Area Science Festival. That's tomorrow night, October 28th at the Castro Theater. Get your tickets at sciencefriday.com/Bay Area. Tomorrow night at the Castro Theater, sciencefriday.com/Bay Area. Have a great weekend. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.